Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how's your hope quotient? Are you in a lot of good hope? Or are you discouraged and don't feel like hope is the answer for you? And let's be hopeful that we can find the answer to hope. And to help us do that, we have a return guest who's always has wonderful insights for us, and it's great to talk with him, Ron D'Amico. Ron, welcome to Energy Stew. Welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter. I appreciate it.
Sure. So hope is something maybe we can hold on to more than almost anything else in this age. So how do you feel about hope?
Well, the interesting thing is hope is, at this particular point of where we are as humans, it is a necessary tool that works as a GPS to move us in the direction of becoming the full capacity of what we have the ability to be. Hope is that little locator that sits within space-time, within the constructs and the confines of our spirit essence. And it is that thing that if we allow ourselves to align with it, it is that continual reminder to keep going no matter what. It's the thing where no matter how bad it gets, you can feel that you can get through it, no matter how painful it is, no matter how much loss there is, no matter how hopeless we perceive, that inner mechanism of innate knowing that we can bring forth ourselves a life and a world that we would love to, if we can get everybody to come together with a synchronistic focal point, you know, we create a global symphony, which ultimately would be phenomenal. Could you imagine a global symphony? But it's that dynamic of just knowing that no matter what is going on, like what we see going on in the world right now, we have for the past probably 7-8 years, but in the past 4+ years has been pretty intense. You know, it's that thing where, yes, this is horrible. This is the reality of what's here. But there is something I know that I can get to, that we can get to. And I'm going to continue to live every moment that I can to the best of my ability to amplify that hope.
So it becomes interesting. Yeah. I've had many times in my life where people have told me about whatever situation I'm in that it's hopeless, you know, and it's like, you're not going to win. You're not going to beat this. So change, you know, do something else. And if it's something that I feel hopeful about, but have no idea why I'm being so discouraged, even though it looks grim, I never gave up on myself. Sure. And I've worked with many people who I've counseled over the years who have come to me with they've said, I've used up all of my hope. I've used up all the possibilities. I don't see any way out. And somehow, this is the way of the universe, I believe. Magic happens. And I think that's really maybe a key to hold hope, is that we don't have any known answers at this moment, but it doesn't mean there's not an answer. So many times I've felt painted into a corner.
Sure.
Either my life or with, you know, to help the lives of others who are painted into a corner. And it's like, no, there's a window there or there's a door there. Mm-hmm. And you just haven't found the right, you haven't looked in the right crevice yet to see how to open this door where the handle might be. It's there's some code here that automatically will come to you and you'll open the door. But a lot of times it's things coming from the unknown that are magical. And it doesn't mean that we're always saved from harm completely. It just means that it's not as bad as it looks. And maybe there's that statement, you know, nothing is ever as bad as it looks or as good as it looks.
Well, as you talk about this, one of the things that I look at when I hear people explain these dynamics, we miss one important factor. We know when we say it's hopeless, the hopelessness or hopefulness is based on a specific orientation of outcome. All right, we're looking to establish something, attain something, become something, get someplace, whatever it may be. But what we miss, it's not the end point that we're focused on. It's, are we allowing ourselves to bring the best of who we are into every step of that process of getting to the realization of that moment, of our focal point? You know, those things that we want to attain aren't really the things we want to attain. Those things are our draw to become something internally, embody our spirit at a very high and refined level. It's not the attainment of the dynamic out there. It's the process of how do we continue to bring forth more of who we are, clean up the imbalances, release the pain, the limitations, the suffrage that we carry, you know, the closed-minded viewpoints. How do we go through that process of taking that journey to that end point, if you will? And all that end point is a certain degree or level of embodiment.
Well, it's really, I don't know that it's an end point in itself. But for instance, I'm thinking of a previous marriage that I was in many years ago. It ended 45 years ago. That's a long time. Been with my current wife for 40 years. But that marriage didn't give me the love that I needed.
Correct.
And so I had to end it. I could hope that it would, but I didn't see the opportunity in it. And so I made a bold step to end the marriage, feeling terrible about it. And maybe for a couple of years afterwards, I felt really a failure and loss, and will I ever have the love that I want? But I never gave up the desire for it. Mm-hmm. And then it was 4.5 years later that I met my current wife. And it was a day where I gave up trying to find a new life partner. And I said, I don't feel, you know, nothing seems to be working. So I'm just gonna say to the universe that I'm okay anyway. And I think I'll go out for a run. Mm-hmm. So I go out for a run, and within like 20 seconds of starting my run, this woman runs alongside me and mm-hmm. we start talking, and we've been together now for 40 years. So that's the magic of the universe, when we're holding that purpose that you talk about, when we really want to fulfill ourselves in ways that we don't know how it's going to work, but somehow magic happens.
Right. Within what you're talking about, that's the very essence of this. You get to a point where you didn't give up. You allowed yourself to feel what you had been searching for, and you gave it to yourself. Once you began to feel complete within your own self level of love, it opened up the doorway for you to bring somebody in that could facilitate them offering you love, raising you up, you loving them, raising them up. It's that process of, we're always looking for it out here, but all we're looking for is a playmate that is willing to be complementary to what we wish to experience and become, and what we wish to share.
You're saying that beautifully. I like what you're saying.
You know, but that's the essence of what we're playing with. Right. And that's the dynamic of hope. You know, because hope knows what we can become. And it's not an end point or a finite dynamic. It's the process of becoming an ever-expansive, ever-evolving being. That's what we're moving towards. That's the essence of becoming.
What I notice in people who I find have the least hope, who are really pessimistic and really living in, let's call it self-terror, mm-hmm. are people who don't hold themselves in wholeness.
Right.
Who don't love themselves. enough to allow the oneness of the universe to help them be whole.
Exactly. And as they allow themselves to realize that everything we engage in is an opportunity to remember the completeness that we carry, that we've embodied, that we've become, but also to see where the voids are that we can complete and clean up.
Right.
Because it's the recognition of, as I engage in something, well, this is very clearly who I am, but that is definitely not who I am. Because sometimes the only way that we get to know who we are is we have all these wonderful ideas. This is what I am. That's great. But what about that? That's definitely not me. Now, knowing what is not you is also highly contributory to knowing who you are.
Right. No, that's so important, is to
know
your own proclivities.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And follow your heart. And that's why we say to people, you know, it's not really about following your mind so much, because the mind is quite mundane. Mm-hmm. But if we follow our hearts, which are more attached to our soul level, it guides us in ways that I think we're more destined.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because if we would allow ourselves to see that the heart is more of a organizing center for the biological aspects of everything that we are, and then the awakened aspect, the spirit aspect of who we are, that's the merger point. That's where the dance of it all occurs. That's the location through which embodiment happens. It's where the physiology welcomes in and honors the guidance and the action of our spirit self to animate our physiological existence.
That's smart. So in other words, you know, the mundane is the reality that we get to choose from.
Right.
But it doesn't clearly show us the choice to make.
Right. It shows that the reality shows us the outcome of the choices that we have engaged.
Right.
You know, because the thing is, people confuse reality with truth, and that's not the case. Truth is reality, but reality is not always a truth. We can say this is the reality. Yeah, it may be, but that isn't a functional, abject truth, because your reality is only situational. You know, and then you have these realities that no matter what is going on, they are as they are. And that is the truth.
Well, I guess what it is that we have to understand that life is an illusion based on consciousness. And so it is our consciousness that's creating all of the third dimension.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people to imagine that. There's much more and more science about it, quantum physics, etc. Sure. And so if we understand that it's all frequencies, it's all vibration, it's all code, and we're the interpreters of that code, then we get to decide how to use it.
Right.
And it takes a lot to see it at that level of our own consciousness being responsible for our reality.
Exactly. And we get there through observing everything that is going on within and around us, and just gaining clarity. This is not an accurate expression of what life is meant to be. You honor it. That may be the reality that a lot of people choose to live in, but then you need to search within for that higher truth and say, this is how I'm designed to live. So I can respect that that's there, but I must live this way within that reality, or what people would call the illusion. You know, the illusion is I see it when people talk about it. It's that dynamic where it isn't actually the truth expressing itself through your life. That's the illusionary aspect. We make things up believing that they really are who we are. They're just projections of imbalanced perceptions about ourselves, life, and the like.
Well, there are all these patterns that our society is in that have brought us to where we are.
Yes.
And it looks foreboding right now.
Yep.
There's a lot of question mark about where we're headed.
Yes.
And what it means. And yet there's also a lot of talk about transformation, even ascension, that our consciousness and our frequencies are rising. And we don't see that. If anything, it looks like it's more toxic around us than ever.
Yeah. And the world is moving into that position of transformation, whether we believe it or not, no matter what we're seeing. If we can understand that the reason this is presenting itself as it is, and we're seeing an exponential increase in all of this dysfunction, all of these distorted ways of looking at the world, the extreme of the worst, the most imbalanced. If we can allow ourselves to recognize that these things occur as part of a purging process, right. As more and more of us truly choose to align, not out of avoidance, but because there is no other way of engaging life, but to be the fullness of who you are. Even if you don't fully know what that is, you can feel it. You don't know what to do with it, but you're going to walk that direction no matter what. As more and more of us come together to hold that clarifying point of our becoming, of what people would call awakening, whatever they wish to call it. We call it ascension.
So we better find our direction through what we bump into.
And that's part of what we do. And then what we also need to do, it's like you were looking, and I'm glad that you said what you said, you were looking for love, someone to love you as you would like to be loved. I added that piece. Well, why are we not saying the same thing? I wish to surround myself with people, and I wish to come together energetically and amplify the best of what I wish to be and the best of what they wish to be. And if we were to come together with a coalesce of intent, it amplifies the movement in that direction, no differently than the insanity that we're seeing right now. It's like the worst of our pain is being placated and triggered. So it just keeps ramping up because it's been dormant, stifled, and it has been controlled for so long.
Well, there are two ways to look at this, where we're at right now. One is this social distancing, the separation, the lockdowns, the isolation. There's so many terrible things that are happening that people say are only going to make us less social, more detached, that society won't be able to find itself once this is over because we're used to detachment. And yet my feeling is the other way around, that we have such a great desire for society, for social connectedness, mm-hmm. that we can't see at this point what it looks like when we're free again, when actually there's no fear hovering over us about this virus and the need to be afraid. Then it's like winter becoming summer. When you're in the middle of winter, you can't imagine summer. When you're in the middle of summer, you can't imagine winter. So we're kind of like that, I think, right now, where once the thaw happens from this time we're in, we'll start realizing ourselves in ways that we need to for that oneness to happen and for us to advance, but in ways that it's harder to imagine right now.
I'm going to take it, I'm going to pop it a little bit more wide open. This is showing us what we've been doing. The pandemic isn't doing anything to us. It's showing us the distance that we had created by forcing us to keep away from each other. It's not doing this. It's showing us what we have been constantly holding on to. Even when we connect, we rarely are intimate.
Good idea. You know, the fact that we haven't been good enough. So we needed this to actually renew ourselves in better ways.
Exactly, because this is providing us with an opportunity. We have all this amazing technology. Look what we're doing on Zoom. You know, it is a way, yes, we are biologically wired for connectivity. There's no question about it, because the essence of what we are is a unified presence. all of us at a spirit level. So it has to transfer into the biology. Nature is an expression of it. We're part of nature. We're the, I'm going to say, the guardians of the dynamic. We're the ones that created the foundational framework of this existence and this platform. So within this, if we can recognize that we are showing us where we have lost sight of who we are, and we use these tools now before all the viral dynamics clear themselves up and find a better balance point, let's get intimate right now. I may not be able to physically be with you, but I can tell you, I can love you just as much. My physiology would love a hug, a touch, you know, close proximity. I would absolutely love it. But this is what I have. So let me use this technology in the way that brings me to you, instead of something that pulls me away from myself and pulls away from intimacy with everything.
Right. So it is. It has been a good way to connect with others. And we just need to complete the picture of it being more in physical presence.
Absolutely. And honor. And this is part of the process that people get a little stuck in. It's like, well, I want to be over here. That's great. But to get over there, you got to walk the road to get there. You know, it's like, so if that means you have to walk through the woods and there are prickers around there, there are briar patches, then you figure out how to navigate it and get cut as little as possible. But you appreciate why it is you ended up in the briar patch to begin with. You find the gift of where you were not present, where you were present, why you made this choice, and how can you honor this life process of moving through this dynamic.
There are opportunities from this that are giving us perspective.
Absolutely.
And yet I'm watching my granddaughter, 3.5, be locked down so much and not having the social interactions that she needs.
Yes.
To find out how this briar patch works.
Yep.
And she doesn't know yet. And she's learning a little bit because she's not in the playground. There are other kids and there have been some bullies. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, I didn't know life had any of this.
Exactly.
And that's so the learning process of that is what we're learning right now in our own way.
Very much. It's like I took he's gonna be 15-year-old son, my stepson. And from the time the pandemic started, he loved the idea of being home, but then he started getting itchy to be around his peers.
Sure.
But what I did was I worked with him to work on all of those weaknesses that he was carrying, all the places where he really felt the separation that had already been there. He just didn't notice them because the body was running around, but he chose to ignore everybody because of how he would get, you know, hurt by people. Well, now he realizes how he kept the distance. I helped him work through what he needed to work through. So now that cleaned up. I'm telling you, he went to school and he wanted to do the in-person learning. So we let him do it. And I've got to tell you, the movement that happened in him was amazing. He took all of the time, not just the pandemic, but, you know, 6 years of me being actively in his life, and everything that I worked with. He's also mildly autistic. And he activated all of it that day. And we looked at him when he came home and it's like, oh my God, who are you? What happened? I'm not
kidding.
Well,
let's hope that happens with all of us now.
But it can. It can. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
Because when we do this, it's like your granddaughter, let her know that this is an opportunity, this is an amazing gift. Even at 3 years old, they're gonna get it.
Sure.
They're gonna get it. And when they realize that it's okay, and it's okay for them to feel the way they feel, but they can find it within, they can find it within the family unit, and they know that it never leaves them, then when they go back into it, they cherish it more.
They don't have the larger awareness of the meaning of any of this.
Exactly.
They're just in it and doing the best they can.
Yeah.
They're here for the future, and we're gonna. I believe we are gonna have a great future.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to figure out so much because of this.
Yep, very much. This is providing us, all of this is providing us with an opportunity to gain a higher level of awareness of who we are. We get to see, it's like I said earlier, we get to see who we are by what we are not. And this is giving us an opportunity to reflect on where we really have made some very poor choices.
Yes. Yeah. We have a lot to be embarrassed about as to where we brought the world to at this point.
Yeah.
And it's time for the younger people to be our future and to use these experiences now to know better.
And it also provides us with the opportunity to become what we never were, to hold and support that container of evolution so these children can move into it with more ease.
Right.
Because if we sit here and go, oh my God, what did I do? Who am I really? And as we step into becoming, then we may not be able to directly correct what we have done, but by aligning with who we are and supporting those that remember more clearly who they are, the younger generations, we create a framework of energetic dynamics that will facilitate a more rapid transformation into a harmonious way of being, as opposed to the discordant way that we're playing with right now.
Right.
So it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
This is great. We're coming to the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's been so wonderful talking about this with you. And I'm excited for the audience to hear this recording because I think it's something that we can all chew on for quite a while.
Very much.
So Ron D'Amico, where can you be reached?
You can reach me at my website, which is www.rondamico.com. That's the easiest way to get me.
Yep. Yeah, I don't always pronounce.
No worries.
Perfectly.
Most everybody is all over the place. Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Peter. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ron. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.